It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Podcasts of the shows can be found at the website. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We will highlight to roll out to all of the new podcasts as well as our op-eds. That's a great place to find out what's going to be happening over the next week. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that as well. Really a terrific show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Chris Cantwell, Trans World Business Advisors, here in just a minute. He's in the business of opportunity. And I can feel it, Steve. It feels like we're starting to flourish again. It seems like we're opening up. And so it'll be great to talk to Chris here in this first segment, Producer Steve.
It's funny you would say that, because literally 3 or 4 minutes ago, I was staring out the window here thinking about all the things that are befuddling us these days. And I thought, where would we be right now if we weren't staring down a virus, if we weren't dealing with all this unsettled nonsense that's going on all around the country? What would our focus be? How productive could we be? So, yeah, it's good to hear from Chris.
It'll be good to talk with him. And then also Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, at the bottom of the hour. The show's focus in segments 2, 3, and 4, this is our show that is brought to you by the Harris family. And it's the important speeches and documents in America's founding. And Ben Martin, patriotic historian, former Army Ranger, has such a love for our history. Unlike some of those folks that are tearing down statues, realizing that, you know, we're flawed individuals. But the founding of our country was flawed into individuals that had an amazing ideal, and this ideal that all men are created equal, and that each individual has these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So we'll be talking about Patrick Henry. And again, thank you to the Harris family for the show. And as we look at all these issues, you know, put your thinking cap on. Rudyard Kipling wrote the Jungle Book, and he said, "I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." And those are good things when we're conversing with people about these important issues. Last night, Steve, was our 3 punches to knock down democratic socialism over at Water's Edge Winery. Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice, it was really, really terrific. And people had a great time. Food was amazing. Chef D, actually, it was his birthday, and he worked diligently. Food was great. It was just a really terrific evening. And so to be able to engage with friends and family and colleagues about that. And so it's important to look at these issues. We look at these as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, then you shouldn't have to use force. You probably saw that Governor Polis extended his, King Polis, yes, extended his, yes, executive orders again on this whole coronavirus, you know, Wuhan virus reaction disruption, keeping things disrupted. And you have to ask why, because initially the narrative was that we were flattening the curve. Well, the curve has been flattened. There was the concern that there would not be enough ventilators. We have enough vents. Then I thought it was so interesting how they tapped down the effects of hydroxychloroquine. I know from people that actually had COVID-19 that the hydroxychloroquine actually worked. You have to ask why would the CDC, why would there be a narrative out there not to use a treatment? You know, it just doesn't make sense. And so if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to persuade people. You know, one other thing I was thinking about, Steve, on the way in, you know, closing down this whole economy. Patty has found some very important pieces. Let me see if I can get to it. And it is that, here we go. Just about. But you know, what I was thinking about is there was no control experiment, you know, when they shut down everything. You know, it seems like a real scientist, they would have had a control experiment with maybe one town shutting down and another town not shutting down and just doing a comparison. There was none of that, Steve. And I think that, you know, I think that was really irresponsible.
Well, if you're going to panic an entire country into doing something, time is of the essence. We need to do it now.
We need to do it now. And so... Yes, Polis extends the state of disaster emergency for Colorado. That was KDVR. And then it was right here at my caps on event attendance is absolutely strangling Colorado hotel sector, industry leader says. That's from the Business Journals. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, you know, they operate on pretty thin margins. And so if you can't have a full margin, you know, full houses, it's going to be a real problem. Our quote for today, since we'll be talking about Patrick Henry, is Patrick Henry. He was an American attorney, planter, politician, and orator, best known for his declaration to the Second Virginia Convention, "Give me liberty or give me death." A founding father, he served as the first and sixth post-colonial governor of Virginia, and he lived from 1736 to 1799, died at the age of 63, and he says, "United we stand, divided we fall. Let us not split into factions, groups, which must destroy that union upon which our existence hangs." Steve, very poignant for today.
Well, how many times have we seen it now? And as long as we've been doing this show and these quotes, they are so incredibly well...
Timeless.
Timeless, and could have been uttered yesterday, and find out that they're 100, 200 years old.
And when we see people tearing things down, it's nothing new. But my friends, we have to come together. We have to unite around this idea that all men are created equal with these gifts from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And when we talk about pursuit of happiness, one of those things is to be able to go out and to work and to keep most of the fruits of your labor so that you can take care of yourself and your family and create wealth. And Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors is one of those guys that can help people buy and sell the things that they have worked towards. And so, Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim and Steve. Hope you're both doing well.
We are. How about our economy? You are, you know, you're kind of on the front lines of this, Chris, because, you know, it is these mom and pop operations that help people create, you know, a living, create wealth. And, you know, where would we be without these, you know, these small businesses here in America?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, before we were tearing down statues, we were looting and tearing down people's small businesses. So as a advocate for small business, that absolutely drives me crazy. And as you said, pursuit of happiness is about owning your own stuff, owning your property, your businesses, your stuff. And in America, that's one of the values that we have is the ability to own your own property and to have a business and to have the right to, you know, intellectual property and things that you innovate on and things that you invent. So that's what small business is all about.
You know, Chris, I see things are coming into, you know, stark clarity, if you will. And there's really two ideologies that are at work here. And that is one of building and creating and innovating, or the other ideology is tearing things down. And, you know, I think it was Lincoln, he said, "You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong." And so we have to look at this. Do we want a society that tears people down and then most everybody is equal in their misery? Or do we want a society where we build people up? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer to me, Chris, but that seems to be the big question out there.
And you know, when you look at these other countries and these socialist countries or communist countries, whatever it may be, yeah, they have a lot of equality. Everybody's equal, but everybody's equally poor.
Miserable.
Very poor.
Miserable. Yeah. So, hey, well, what's our weekly update? Or did go ahead. Did you have something else you wanted to say? Or
No. Today I want to talk to anyone who owns a business out there. And my conversation today is every business owner should have an exit plan, and whether it's in 20 years, 10 years, 2 years, or 6 months. And this includes if you plan to maybe sell to employees, or if you're going to sell to family members, or sell in the market. And that's what I do. I take people's businesses to market to find a buyer for the business. But you never know what events may happen that place you into a situation where you might need to sell. But if you have a plan and you're prepared for an unexpected need to sell, or for the long run when maybe it's time to retire, you should have a plan. And in any of these scenarios, I can offer advice, give you some things to think about or to strategize on. I don't charge for consulting. I hate to say the word free because there's no such thing, but I have no cost advice.
I like that.
That I like to say. Yeah. And I just like to build the network of business owners. And if I'm not involved in the selling of your business, maybe you have a friend or a colleague that you introduced me to and I help them sell their business or get a buyer into the marketplace, that's ideal for me. So I'm in that world of, hey, what kind of comes around goes around, and I'm okay with that. So you can always reach me at my phone number, which is fairly easy to remember, 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's how you can find me.
Well, great. And through all disruptions, there's always opportunity. And with, you know, what the federal government has put together regarding the CARES Act, and I know that there's some real opportunities if people want to buy a business right now, they can sit down and talk with you. And there really is some cool things that are happening that can help people do that, Chris.
You are absolutely correct. There's going to be plenty of opportunity. Businesses are going to be on the market. They are on the market. There are business owners that need to sell, and there's going to be plenty of buyers in the marketplace that are tired of working for corporate. So let's go make somebody an entrepreneur and let capitalism live another day while we still can.
I love it, Chris Cantwell. And again, you can find Chris's information on my website. It's Trans World Business Advisors, and we have all of our sponsors there, and just drops down there and it has all of Chris's information there. Chris, thanks so much, and we will talk to you very soon. So you have a great day.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great morning.
Okay, we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my valued partners, and there are 5 Hooters locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They are open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside service. They have happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. That's dine-in only. Wednesdays are Wings Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. They have lunch specials, and kids eat free with dine-in or to-go. So for more information, you can go to my website, that's kimmunson.com, or you can go to order.hooters.com, that's order.hooters.com. And it's summertime now. Just sit out on the deck, have a beverage, some nachos, some wings. It's just a great time. You know, we're social beings. It's nice to be able to get out and be with friends again. So go to order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Ben Martin.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hot town, summer in the city.
Oh, Charlie has gotten all of these summer songs. So it is summertime, and it's a great time to be alive. We've got amazing opportunities here, my friends. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We'd appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like. And also be sure and get on our weekly email newsletter. We're going to be talking with Ben Martin here in just a few minutes about Patrick Henry. And as we have seen these people pulling down our history, because our history is not perfect, and certainly perfect in their mind. I'm not quite sure what perfect is, because they are been so busy destroying things. And as I was talking with Chris Cantwell, we really have two different ideologies. And that is the ideology is if of the idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, or the other ideology of destruction and chaos. And so our founding fathers realized that this, even though we're imperfect human beings, that this was really a great ideal to work towards. And so this year, we're going through the important speeches and documents of our founding with Ben Martin, my dear friend, who is a former Army Ranger, a patriotic historian. And we're going to be talking about Patrick Henry. He was a pivotal figure in our founding. Ben Martin, welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Kim. Great to talk with you this morning.
Well, it's great, Steve. Great to talk with you as well. Now, last year, this whole thing is brought to us by the Harris family, and we certainly appreciate that. Last year, we went through the Federalist Papers, but we're getting into the pre-Revolutionary War. So start us off with Patrick Henry. We've talked a little bit about him. We did a podcast, so you can get more information on the website, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Where should we start with Patrick Henry, Ben Martin?
Oh, it's great, Kim. It's a great person to talk with, especially today. Okay, so he is our final founder we will discuss in this presentation of the pre-Revolutionary War period, which was approximately 1761 to 1775. Patrick Henry, he was a brilliant orator and a major figure of the American Revolution, like you said just before. He was the first governor of the independent Virginia, his home state. John Henry was Patrick Henry's father, so let's talk a little bit about that for a minute. He was a well-educated Scotsman who served in the Virginia colony as first a surveyor, then a colonel of the militia, and as a justice of the Hanover County Court. He was also trained in the classics. His tutoring reinforced the rudimentary education young Patrick received in the local schools. Like Samuel Adams, though, Patrick Henry was not a business whiz. As a youth, he failed twice in 7 years as a storekeeper and once as a farmer. In 1754, he married...
Now, let's just mention that.
Yeah.
Let's think about this.
Go ahead.
You said that was not his strength, to be a storekeeper or a farmer, that he failed, but he didn't give up.
And, he didn't give up.
And that's so important that people understand that, particularly, you know, with people that may have lost their jobs during this time. You know,
right.
Life happens. You just can't give up. You have to keep standing. So continue on.
And this is a real key part of the pursuit of happiness, to find out what you're good at, to find out what is your role in life, that you can be the best person you can be. And that's the same thing with Patrick Henry. I mean, with Patrick Henry, as it was with Samuel Adams. They just kept looking, they kept working, and they found the place where they were most effective, where they could do the most good. So this is how Patrick Henry found it. In 1755, he married Sarah Shelton. The demands of a growing family spurred him to study law. And in this profession, he soon displayed remarkable ability. He found his niche. Within a few years after his admission to the bar in 1760, he had a large and profitable clientele. He was especially successful in criminal cases, where he made good use of his quick wit, his knowledge of human nature, and his forensic gifts. Meanwhile, his oratorial genius had been revealed in the trial known as the Parson Cause in 1763. The suit grew out of the Virginia law that was disallowed by King George III. It permitted payment of the Anglican clergy in money instead of tobacco when the tobacco crop was poor. That just made good sense. Henry astonished the audience in the courtroom with his eloquence in evoking the doctrine of natural rights, the political theory that man is born with certain inalienable rights. And you just talked about that just a few minutes ago. During the next decade, Henry was an influential leader in the patriotic opposition to the British government. He was a member of the first Virginia Committee of Correspondence and a delegate to the Continental Congresses of 1774 and 75. Now, he did this in conjunction with Otis and Adams, which we talked about earlier in this particular program. The Burgesses were sitting in 1774 as legislators when they learned that Parliament voted to close the port of Boston and shut down the Massachusetts government. Those were the results of the British Tea Party, of the Boston Tea Party, and the British Intolerable Acts. And several Burgesses, including Henry, convened at the Raleigh Tavern to formulate a response to the British. And according to George Mason, a former Burgess who joined them at the tavern, Henry took the lead in this convention and headed a committee that produced a resolution which set 1 June 1774, the date upon which the port of Boston was to be closed under those intolerable acts, as a day of fasting and prayer. And he did this again in conjunction with Otis and Adams from Boston. From this first meeting, this first convention, the first Virginia convention, Mason and Henry would form a close political relationship that would last until Mason's death in 1792. Now, Henry's resolution passed, but the British governor of Virginia, Lord Dunmore, dissolved the legislative body, again, part of the Intolerable Acts. Undeterred, the former legislators, all of them, met at the Raleigh Tavern and reconstituted themselves as a convention to meet next in August, after they took time to learn the local sentiments from county meetings. They also called for a boycott of tea and other British projects. Again, this was in conjunction with Adams and Otis in Boston. The next Virginia, the new Virginia convention, planned five meetings, which would guide Virginia to independence as British authorities would come to an end. Their work was advanced by many resolutions of county meetings denying the authority of Parliament over the colonies and calling for a boycott of British imports. The first Virginia Convention began on 1 August 1774 in Williamsburg, as they had planned. It met for 1 week. And one major decision that came out of that was the election of Virginia delegates to the first Continental Congress in Philadelphia. And Henry was chosen as one of those seven delegates. The second Virginia Convention, which began on 20 March 1775 in St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. Now, many key people were present in this convention that would be involved in the founding of America and the writing of the Declaration of Independence. All of the above being very important, the centerpiece of the Second Virginia Convention was Patrick Henry's speech on 23 March. Henry was convinced that war with Great Britain was inevitable, and he presented strong resolutions for organizing, equipping, and preparing the Virginia militia to fight against the British. And it ended with the now famous peroration, "Give me liberty or give me death." After the speech, it was resolved that the Virginia colony be put into a posture of defense, and that Patrick Henry, Richard Henry Lee, Benjamin Harrison, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all great founders, be a committee to prepare a plan for embodying, arming, and disciplining such a number of men as may be sufficient for that purpose. The speech was also a contributing factor in the decision by Lord Dunmore to move the gunpowder from the Williamsburg Magazine to a Royal Navy ship in what is now called the gunpowder incident. Henry's speech assured his fame as a great advocate of liberty. The fame from this speech would provide Henry many opportunities to serve his fellow citizens as they founded America. This began August of 1775, when the 3rd Virginia Convention named him commander of the 1st Virginia Regiment.
Ben,
in September of that year. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know what? Let's stop right here and take a quick break. Before we do that, though, I just want to make a comment, a correlation.
Sure.
With Lord Dunsmore took the gunpowder. I think there is a correlation to these legislatures that are using these different laws to, you know, limit the number of rounds that you can have in a magazine, as they're trying to limit people to be able to buy ammunition for their firearms. There is a direct correlation from what was happening back then.
It's exactly the right thing that you're talking about, Kim, because that's exactly what they were doing. That gunpowder was bought by the citizens of Virginia, and it was paid for by their money, and it was put there for defense, for their defense. And that's the first thing that despots try to do, is to disarm the citizenry. And that's, as you said, what's happening here. I just wanted to mention one other thing. In September, Virginia's Committee of Safety, after making him the commander of the 1st Virginia Regiment, now made him commander of all Virginia military forces.
Yes, and so it is very important. We're seeing that with unrest out there, people need to be able to protect themselves and be able to have ammunition to do so. And as you just mentioned, that's one of the first things that despots do. But we're going to go to break, Ben Martin, so stay on the line. We've got Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management on the line. And Jason and your beautiful wife, Melissa, were at the 3 Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism last night. It was a super event. It was great to see you there.
Yes, I thought it was very good. Both speakers were very knowledgeable and also very entertaining. Yeah, that's important to be entertaining when you're a speaker on a subject like that, especially that can be a little bit in the weeds and a little bit tough to digest or figure out, and I thought that both Helen and Paul did a fabulous job.
Yes, it was really a terrific evening. So I was so busy on working on all of that yesterday, I don't even know what did the markets do yesterday.
You know, we actually had a fairly quiet day yesterday, Kim. We started off down a little bit on the Dow, and then we just kind of ground our way slowly back up throughout the day. Ended up with about 150-point gain on the Dow. The NASDAQ gained about 110 points yesterday, so it was the standout, at least percentage-wise. And the NASDAQ is now just within a, I don't even want to say a stone's throw, I'd say a pebble's throw of a brand new all-time high. Well, you know, frankly, Kim, the Dow and the NASDAQ are still playing a little bit of catch-up. Both of them are just kind of hanging out around their 200-day moving averages, trying to fight their way back up and get above the highs that they made earlier this month. That's not to say they're not doing well also, but they're just a little bit behind the NASDAQ, which is stuffed more full of technology stocks, which have been leading the charge on this recovery. And unlike some of the other industries or groups, they don't seem to have taken the pause to catch a breath that some of the other ones have. So hopefully the Dow and the rest of the indexes will play catch-up with the NASDAQ and also get to new highs soon, and the NASDAQ won't play catch-up with the other ones and fall back.
Okay, Jason, I'm thinking about it. The only guarantee, really, in these markets is that they will be volatile. You know, several weeks ago when there was that big drop, you know, people all of a sudden realized, my tummy doesn't like this. And so we now have almost our third do-over where people could sit down and possibly do some asset reallocation, you know, depending on their risk tolerance. And I know that you and your colleagues over there at Presidential you know, we'll sit down and people, you know, help people with their own individual plans. And I think it's really important to do that while we're knocking up here again with the NASDAQ and the Dow recovering. So check your tummy, what's your risk tolerance, sit down with Jason and the folks over there at Presidential. Now's a great time to do it.
Well, I think that's a good call, Kim. It's always better to make decisions and make adjustments when your brain isn't scrambled from fear or panic. And yeah, you know, right now it really shouldn't be too much, I guess, because we've recovered, and theoretically at least you should have gotten a good chunk of your money back if you wrote it down and wrote it back up. And boy, it kind of is like a second chance, Kim. If you wish you'd have made those changes before and you feel, oh gosh, I waited too long, now look what happened, yeah, it's kind of like you're getting a reset here.
Yes, most definitely. So you can go to our landing page together, airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. Of course, there's a landing page on my website, kimmunson.com. And then Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. That phone number is 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. Jason, it was great to see you and Melissa last night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. On the line with me is Ben Martin, patriotic historian, former Army Ranger. We're talking about Patrick Henry and leading up to the Declaration of Independence, what was happening. It was 15 years that they were on a back and forth with the King of England, and they took time. There was a lot of thought that went into this. And so stay tuned. We'll have more with Ben Martin and Patrick Henry.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Summer breeze.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we'd appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like. We're going to get to Ben Martin here in just a moment. Before we do that, thinking of patriots, a couple of patriots are my friends Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas. They have been in the black entertainment business for many, many years, and they have determined that they are all in to get President Trump reelected. And they started a brand of I'm a Trumpster. It's imatrumpster.com is their website, imatrumpster.com. And they are raising money. They actually have the buses here now from New York. We need to get it vinyl wrapped with the I'm a Trumpster message. And we are helping them do that. We need to raise $10,000 to do that. And we thought we were going to have a big celebration this Friday. We're actually going to push that off till after the 4th of July, after Independence Day. But go to imatrumpster.com, contribute at least $50. For every $50 that you contribute, you get one of their really cool battle masks that's on one side it says America Works Together, and then it's reversible. The other side it says I'm a Trumpster. And once you do that, then email me so that I know, and we'll have you on the guest list for this big event that we're going to have. Sometime, it's probably going to be July 10th, but we're a little fluid on that. And so go to I'm a Trumpster. kimmunson.com to contribute, and then email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We're at a defining moment in America. It seems like every generation has a defining moment where we need to step forward to stand for this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So this is our time, and we are engaging in this battle of ideas, and that is why we're doing these shows with Ben Martin, because he understands our history and how it actually relates, our history relates to today. So Ben Martin, continue on. We're talking about Patrick Henry, who was a very important figure in our founding.
Very, very much. And you called him a pivotal figure, and that's a good definition, characterization. So when we ended, we were talking about that speech that he gave in the second Virginia convention. And we were talking about the five conventions. And we were talking about how that speech, the fame that he got from that, provided Henry with many opportunities to serve his fellow citizens as they founded America. And this began in August of 1775, when the 3rd Virginia Convention named him commander of the 1st Virginia Regiment. And in September of that year, 1775, Virginia's Committee of Safety made him commander of all the military forces. So because of that, Henry did not sit in the 3rd or the 4th Virginia Conventions because of his militia commission in the military commission. But in April of 1776, Henry was elected to the 5th Virginia Convention, which would meet 6 May to 5 July 1776. As you know, those are really important dates. This meeting was of great consequence for Virginia and the rest of the colonies. In it, they declared Virginia's independence and then wrote the Virginia Declaration of Rights on 12 June 1776, and the Virginia State Constitution on 29 June of that same year. The Virginia Delegation of Rights was chiefly written by someone we're going to talk about in the future, George Mason. And the Virginia Constitution was mainly written by George Mason and James Madison. These two founders and these documents, as we know now, played important roles in our Declaration and our Constitution. Henry was a key player in the important 5th Virginia Convention. Although a good majority of the delegates were for independence in Virginia, they were not clear on how to get there. According to Edmund Randolph, Henry showed calm prudence and clear objective reason as he introduced a resolution and explained a plan to lead Virginia there. The eventual resolution he championed passed unanimously on 15 May 1776. As well as declaring Virginia independent, Henry's resolution instructed the state's delegates in the Second Continental Congress, which was meeting at the same time, to press for American independence. Accordingly, Virginia delegates Richard Henry Lee would introduce the now-famous Independence Resolution to Congress on 7 June, and Thomas Jefferson, also a Virginia delegate, would be the main author of the Declaration, which would unanimously pass on 4 July 1776, what we now call Independence Day. Under their new Constitution, Virginia would elect Patrick Henry the first governor of their now independent state. At that time, he was Virginia's most popular politician, and his election as governor helped assure the acceptance of the new state constitution for Virginia. In 1777, Henry would be reelected as governor without opposition, and in 1778, he would be elected again for a third term as governor without opposition. In 1775, Henry's first wife, Sarah, died, probably from postpartum psychosis, which she began exhibiting in 1771 after her 6th childbirth. On 9 October 1777, Henry remarried, and he married Dorothy Danbridge, daughter of Nathaniel Danbridge, who, which in this wedding made him closer kin to George Washington, his neighbor. Since Nathaniel was Martha Washington's uncle, Dorothy and Patrick then moved to the Leatherwood Plantation in Henry County, which the Virginia General Assembly named for Patrick Henry. As governor in the winter of 1777 and 78, when Washington's Continental Army was starving in Valley Forge, Henry sent livestock and other foodstuff to their relief. He also supported Washington in the Conway Cabal and sent Washington a letter Henry had received from Benjamin Rush, which tipped off Washington to the formation and the intentions of the cabal. In 1794, President Washington wrote of Henry, "I have always respected and esteemed him. Nay, more, I have conceived myself under obligation to him for the friendly manner in which he transmitted to me some insidious, anonymous writings in 1777 with a view to embark him in the opposition that was forming against me at that time." From 1784 to 86, Henry would serve two more terms as governor of Virginia, stepping down before he could be considered for a sixth term as their governor. Now, Kim, at this point, is this a good, because I know we just had the other announcements, is this a good time to take a break?
Yeah, that would be just great. Let's do that, and then we'll come back. We'll have one more segment with Ben Martin, patriotic historian, former Army Ranger. We're talking about Patrick Henry. And I do find it just very interesting that, you know, I think sometimes I used to think that everybody loved George Washington, but there was this cabal that really was not supporting him. And how many people were in that, Ben Martin?
There were many, and they were very famous, and it happened at a really critical time. We have talked before, and we may talk again in the future on your show, about the great thing that Washington did to lead the charge against the British Hessians. Well, they were German Hessians, but they were serving the British in Trenton. And this was all happening around that time. And George Washington's two vice commanders, if you would, were plotting against him at that time, along with members of Congress, to overturn him. They had said, you know, Washington lost the Battle of New York, and so therefore he should be removed as the commander-in-chief, and one of us should be made the commander-in-chief because we're much better commanders than Washington was. So this was all going on while he was desperate, sitting on the other side of the river from Trenton, figuring out how he was going to bring the glorious cause, how he was going to bring the revolution, breathe life back into it. And then he had to deal with his vice commanders not even supporting him, but undermining him in this cause.
It sounds like the deep state of 1776, Ben Martin.
Exactly the deep state.
My gosh.
Right.
So, hey, yeah, let's go to break. And when we come back, these go so quickly, but we will have one more segment to continue to talk about Patrick Henry and our founding. So stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. All kinds of great information there. Our op-eds, our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, upcoming guests, just all kinds of great information there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. We greatly appreciate that as well. Ben Martin is on the line with me, a dear friend of mine, patriotic historian, as well as a former Army Ranger. And we have one more segment here, Ben Martin. And Patrick Henry, what a fascinating figure in our founding. So continue on, Ben.
Well, let's talk about it. When we first started talking about this, we talked about the five Virginia conventions. And then we talked about, in the second Virginia convention, how he made this great speech. And that speech ended with, give me liberty or give me death. And we talked about the opportunities that that gave him because of the fame that he gained from that speech that gave him the opportunity to serve Virginia and to serve the formation, the founding of the what we know today, the nation of America. So let us conclude with some unforgettable passages from that famous speech, Kim.
Okay.
And as we do that, I'd like everybody to think about what he was saying there and then think about the message that this should be sending to those mayors and those governors that are sitting back and not doing what they should be doing right now. So let's go there right now. We're going to go back to the Second Virginia Convention in St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, on 23 March, 1775. And at this time, Henry was not as well known as he is today during that period of time. And Henry addresses his speech to the president, who was Peyton Randolph, the former Speaker of the House of Burgesses. Mr. President, no man thinks more highly than I do of patriotism and the abilities of the very worthy gentlemen who have just addressed this House. But different men often see the same subject in different lights. I shall speak forth my sentiments freely and without reserve, because, sir, this is no time for ceremony. The questions before the House is one of awful moment to this country. For my own part, I consider it as nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery. And in proportion to the magnitude of the subject, it ought to be the freedom of debate. It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God and our country. Mr. President, it is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We see that today, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We are apt to shut our eyes against the painful truth and listen to the song of that siren, till she transforms us into beast. Is this the part of wise men, sir, engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? I have but one light by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify these hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves and the House. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Have we shown ourselves so unwilling to be reconciled that force must be called to win back our love? Let us not deceive ourselves, sir. These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last argument to which kings resort. I ask, gentlemen, sir, what means this martial array? If its purpose be not to force us to submission, can gentlemen assign any other possible motive for it? Has Great Britain any enemies in this quarter of the world to call for all this accumulation of navies and armies? No, sir, she has none. They are meant for us. They can be meant for no other. They are sent over to bind and rivet upon us those chains which the British ministry has been so long forging. Let us not, I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves. Sir, we have done everything that could be done to avert the storm which is now coming on. If we wish to be free, if we wish to preserve inviolate those inestimable privileges for which we have been so long contending, if we mean not basely to abandon the noble struggle in which we have been so long engaged, in which we have pledged ourselves never to abandon until the glorious object of our contest shall be obtained, we must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left for us. They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be next week or next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when a British guard shall be stationed in every house? Sir, we are not weak. If we make proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power. 3 millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty, and in such a country as that we possess, we are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations, and who will rise up, friends, to help us fight our battles. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election in this matter. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and I say let it come. I repeat it, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty, or give me death. And with that, he concluded.
Powerful, powerful. So
it's a message that we should be sending right now, and they should be receiving. These people that refuse to stand up and say to everybody what they know in their hearts, that this is not a country of prejudice, of race, of racism. There are some people in there, in our country, as in every country, that are not good people. And they may be racist, but our country is not racist. And they should stand up and be confident in that and not shrink to what is coming before us right now. Just as Patrick Henry said, we cannot shrink from this. We must stand up and we must exert our will and we must exert those qualities that we have as a nation, the things that we believe in, those principles that we've talked about before and that you've talked about here many times on this program, Kim.
Well, and the narrative that is out there actually is twisting the words that on these ideals that all men are created equal. That is true. And so that would mean that all men matter. And so all men are created equal, all men matter. And when we say men, we mean humankind, we mean the human race.
That's right. That's
with exactly. These rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I think inherently Americans understand that. And it's been almost insidious about how our words and our values have been are being used against us. And in doing that, they are tearing down these principles, these ideals that we want to aspire to. So, Ben Martin, we have 1 minute left. What is the final thought you want to leave with our listeners?
I think the final thought is that we need to teach our values, our principles, to our children, because they need that. Our schools are not doing that right now. I hate to say that as a general rule, because there are some schools out there that are doing it. But for the most part, our public education is not giving the foundation to our people that it needs to. And that was the founder's goal, was that our education was to let our children know, so they could grow up to be strong patriots too, to know that our country is not perfect. Like all men, none are perfect, but we try to be, and this is the best government that the world has ever known. And this is the first government that has ever been given to people that is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is self-government, something that the world had told us was impossible to do. But our founders found a way to do it. And again, it's not perfect, but it's the best government that the world has ever known throughout its whole written history.
And there you have it. Ben Martin, thank you so much. And we're going to be talking with you the week of Independence Week about the Declaration. So thanks so much.
Okay, we look forward to it, Kim. Thank you.
And Patrick Henry said, "The liberties of a people never were nor ever will be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them." You think about these CDC numbers on COVID deaths or whatever? There's all kinds of things on that. Anyway, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.